this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
So guys, I came here to share a word with you, and I told Dan, and I almost feel like leaving it, because this is really awesome. This is what church is about, being in the presence of God. So I'm going to share a short word, and then I'd like us to continue with ministry. This morning, it's a word of encouragement. It's a light word, okay? So like I said, it's not going to be deep and long, but it's also very practical. Jan George didn't mention it, but I'm not a pastor. I'm just an average guy like all of you sitting here. But that's exactly what my message is about. It's about a few businessmen in Jerusalem. Okay, and if there's any movie makers in the house, I'd like you to take notes, because I'd like to see a movie on the apostles soon. So, yeah, I'd like to thank the leadership for this opportunity. This morning, we're just going to talk about marketplace ministry. It's a personal passion of mine. I believe that God is taking us into a season, and that He has already started taking us into a season where the glory of God will come in the marketplace. Amen. If you can take this into your office, you can take this into a meeting. We get these spiritual seasons, and I'm really excited about this next season. Even in the week to come, we will be having a workshop in our district in Pretoria, where we will take this further. So this morning, I'm just going to lay a foundation, and I invite you to take it further in your small groups to make it practical. So before I continue, who of you are in the full-time ministry? Great. Eight. I love it. However, I want us to walk out here with a couple more full-time ministers this morning. Okay, because we are all already in full-time ministry, and I'll expand on that. Just a bit of a disclaimer, I'm not preaching against anything, I'm preaching for something. Okay, so we should, and I have a lot of respect for the fivefold ministry. It's got a very specific role, a very specific blessing. So when I say full-time ministry, I mean it in that context. I'm preaching for us entering the full-time ministry, not against anything. Okay. You all familiar with Matthew 3 verse 2 that reads, John preached saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now this morning I'm not John, but I want to say repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who knows what the Greek word for repent is? Okay. Metanoia, okay? So meta means change, and noia, the way you think. So we've got a strong misconception what repent means. Repent means change the way you think. This morning the Spirit is asking us to change the way we think about ourselves. Amen. So we're going to have fun this morning. I'm just going to pray before we continue. Lord, we bless you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence here, that we can just surrender to you and hear what you want to say to us, Lord. Thank you that we are so blessed that Jesus, today the cross is empty. We can stare upon an empty cross and to Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are ushering us into this movement, into this spiritual wave of taking God's glory into the marketplace. And we ask that you teach us and guide us in this morning. Amen. Okay, so just a bit of a purpose statement for the morning. It's to identify the lies of Satan. It's to understand God's heart for the marketplace. And lastly, empowering us with kingdom principles. Okay, very basic, just those three. I'd like you to keep the following two pictures in mind as we speak. This is Jerusalem. I'm not sure about the age of this portrayal, but this is a marketplace, a market plain in Jerusalem. Okay, then the next picture, you know where that is? This is, okay, Mandela Square. It's not all that different, is it? Okay, just flip back again and forward again. I don't know. To me, it looks pretty similar. Take away the camels and the clothing, and it's the same thing. Okay, so as I speak, I'd like you to Just put yourself in that era. Any of us could have lived in that era. Have you ever wondered what it would have been living like in a different era? I wonder a lot. Then I say, okay, thank you God for this era, but sometimes I wonder, what if I was born into the Middle Age or born into this Old Testament age? But we're here now, so we need to read the scriptures and make it relevant to our daily lives. So if you look at this Sandton Square, my very deep spiritual question is, where would Jesus have had lunch? Papas, Wang Thai, or Lekotla? I'm not sure, but he could have just as well lived today. So let's make it relevant. I'm very blessed with Shofar's vision to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church plantings. To reach nations and generations. So when we say nations, a nation is built on three pillars. Okay, it is education, governance, or politics, and business. Okay, and that is the heart of a nation. So if Shofar says we're going to transform our nation, then we need to transform those three pillars. Okay, and the marketplace is the heart of a nation. And to change a nation, you need to change the heart. And that's what we'll be discussing this morning. I don't like starting with problems, but I have identified a holy problem. Okay? And the holy problem is as follows. There's a very bad mentality amongst certain Christians. I'm not saying here, but let's put ourselves in the same boat this morning, that there's a division between work and church. In Afrikaans, it's werk versus kerk. Okay, we box, we compartmentalize, we take then the second one, we go into the Sunday Christian phenomenon. And it's a very dangerous thing to do, because if we look at the word, there is no division between church and work. Okay? What we're doing here today shouldn't change tomorrow. Yes, it's a different application, but we are the church. We are the ecclesia. So today the church is gathered here. Tomorrow the church is out there. Right? But once I was sitting in church and God told me, this is halftime. This is the team talk. And then I'm like, what do you mean, God? He said, no, the game is out there Monday to Friday. Okay? This is where we recover. This is where the coach talks to us. Say, listen, I'm not happy with you. You need to sharpen up. Listen, are you okay? I think you need to take a rest. This is where you can cry, where you can get recovery, where you can get edification. We need to take an energy drink, but then go back onto the field. Okay, and the reality is the field is hard. Yesterday I watched a bit of rugby, and I thought most of those guys are as old as I am. And imagine me and Jan George running full steam into each other. You know, he starts there and I start here, and we just go at each other. That's what they do, and that's what happens on the playing field every day. So we shouldn't be caught off guard when you get a hit. Yeah, that's life. That is life. But we've got a spirit in us. We've got a guidance onto how we should play this game. Now, Satan is very happy with the Sunday Christian phenomenon. Why? Because if most of us are awake probably 16 hours a day, say from 6 to 10 at night, 16 hours, and you spend roughly 11 hours either at work or preparing for work. I know in Joburg it's a bit longer than in Pretoria. But say you wake up at 6 and you start preparing and you at home at 5, which I understand is early for you guys, then that is 11 hours. Okay, now 11 on 16 is 68.75. Can I put the double decimal in, because I know there are clever guys in this church. So at 68.75% of your wake time, you are at the office. So guess how happy Satan is if you waste the majority of your wake time. Okay, then you compare that to, say, 3 hours on a Wednesday evening and 4 hours on a Sunday. That's 7 versus 55 hours. We can't afford to be Sunday Christians. This is highly ineffective. Okay, and Satan is very happy, and in fact, he wants us to waste our office time. Okay, so then lastly, God anoints the pastor, but not the professional. It's a lie. We've all got the same spirit in us. We all have to give account to God in the same way. Both fivefold minister and marketplace minister. We are all in ministry. We're all going to give account to the same extent. Okay. Before I continue, I just want to identify four deadly lies. We've talked about this. There's a God-ordained separation between the church servant and the marketplace minister. The church of God functions on Sundays and specifically in buildings. These are all lies. I want to expose them, and I want to get to ministry as soon as possible again at the end. Thirdly, Christians in the marketplace are not as spiritual as those in church. And then lastly, the primary role of business people or marketplace ministers are to make money, to fund church and missions, etc. Now that is true. We, you know, as people in the marketplace, we need to fund the church. Obviously, where else does the money a church have come from? But think how boring it is if your only job is to make money. There's no fun in that. There's no power in that. Yes? And the scripture doesn't say, let thy will be done and let me fund thy kingdom come. We must make God's kingdom come. That's what we're here for. There's a saying that the day Christians leave the marketplace and enter the church mentality, Satan leaves the church alone and enters the marketplace. The day Christians leave the marketplace and enter the church mentality, Satan leaves the church alone and enters the marketplace. Okay, so before I tell you the story of Jerusalem, I just want to highlight a few interesting observations I've made from the Word, just to illustrate to you the heart of God concerning the marketplace. Mark 6:2-3. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did you get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. So Jesus was more acknowledged as a tecton. So the Greek word for carpenter is tecton. And that, I know a lot of people say he was a carpenter, a woodworker. But tecton is, and I read up on this, is actually a bit more than that. It means the master of the craft, designer, construction engineer, or architect. A tecton could build a house, construct a bridge, or design a temple. So Jesus was a tecton. Okay? And I love it. They took offense. So imagine Van here, being an engineer. Okay, so like I said, I want to make it real today. They ask, where did Vanner get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? They scoffed and said, no, he's just an engineer. The son of, what's your mother's name? Elsa. The son of Elsa. The brother of Zelda. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Amen. Let them be offended. Okay. Let them be amazed with the wisdom and the power within us. To be amazed in a meeting, in a project, with the power and the wisdom in you, and let them be offended, because they were offended with Jesus. And we can just say thank you, Jesus, for what is to come. Just some interesting facts from the Word. The 12 disciples were marketplace ministers, businessmen, and Jesus fetched them from a secular world. Okay, they weren't scholars of the world, the Word. Matthew was a retired tax collector. Luke was a medical doctor. John was a fisherman. Mark was a relative of a wealthy Barnabas and son of Mary. And Mary's house was where they had the Last Supper. And it's, if you look at Acts 4 and Acts 12, it must have been a very big house, because you will remember that Peter, when the angel led him from the prison and took him to the house of Mary where they were all busy praying, he knocked at the door at the gate and no one heard him. And then the servant girl, Rhoda, heard it and ran out. And she ran back. Okay, so it was probably a big property. Or they were just praying very hard in a small flat together. But They couldn't hear Peter knocking at the door, and Paul funded his own missions. Acts 20. And while I say that, I forgot to mention this at the beginning. 3-4 weeks ago, we had a men's camp with all the young men in our church, and we were busy worshiping, and God opened my eyes just for a small period of time to what the future is going to look like, at least in our church, Shofar. And I was very blessed with this, and it links with what we're talking about this morning. He just showed me a little bit of, I saw this group of young, passionate Christians, educated or scholared in the Word, meaning they've gone through Bible school, they've gone through all the foundations, they are ready for ministry. But if you talk to them, they are very confident that they're not called for the fivefold ministry. And that creates a lot of confusion. And God showed me just a glimpse of what He's going to do with us, with a group of people that are passionate for Him. We shouldn't box ministry into fivefold ministry. So what I saw was, and I even, God gave me a prophecy over one guy, is to say that we will be a generation that are passionate, spirit-filled Christians, but are also excellent in our occupations, where we can align a business trip to India with a scouting mission, where the pastor and the professional can work together, plan together, use that flight for another purpose, and exercise it for the sake of the kingdom. And that is our short-term future. I don't even believe it's a long-term vision. It's short-term. We're going to start seeing it this year, where people just start aligning their businesses with the church vision. And guess what? The finance will be there. The blessing will be there. So it's not a sake of going into this poverty mentality. Let's now work with the church. No. Let's align your business with the kingdom. You better upgrade your SAP system, okay? Because God is going to allow His blessing to flow, but He's waiting for people to be trusted with the finances. Out of the 22 miracles, only one took place in a religious environment, and that was at the temple gate called Beautiful. The first church of 120 was not born in a temple or a synagogue. It was born in an upper room. If you look at Acts 1 verse 13, it says, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Okay, so guess what? If you have a house large enough to have 120 people stay there, it's probably a big house. So it must have been owned by a wealthy person. Okay, maybe there's a house big enough in Westcliff for 120 people to stay in an upper room. Okay, so this was Acts. This is what we read on a weekly basis. Interesting facts from the Word. Just the parables, before I tell you the story of Jerusalem. Out of the 38 parables spoke about financial management or financial stewardship. Okay, and most of the parables were examples from the marketplace for normal people so that we could relate to them. Go and read it. Make it practical. It's very relevant. It talks about winemaking, farming, family businesses, future markets, venture capital. Like I say, you must make it relevant to a daily situation. That's what they had to talk about, and it's still relevant today. Good. Let me tell you the story of Jerusalem. If you have a Bible here, if you don't mind, open it with me, because I'd like us to page literally through Acts. And I'm going to highlight certain sections. So you can go to Acts 1. If you don't have your Bible here, just open your phone, because there's not going to be a lot on the screen. I just want to highlight. So at the top there is Jerusalem. The bottom here is your city, Joburg. Once again, it doesn't look all that different. The buildings are a bit higher, but still a city that God wants for His sake. Now, if you can remember that God was grieved, Jesus specifically was grieved with Jerusalem. If you look at Luke 19, he says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Luke 13, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. So Jerusalem here was a city that grieved God. Okay, but it was a city with 12 businessmen in that started a transformation through prayer. So let's look at Acts 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Okay, so this is where it all started, a massive transformation. We skip to Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so what we see is the day of Pentecost, this anointing coming over them. It comes over everyone. Remember we said it comes over the pastor, the professional, everyone that was there. But it did not stay there. It went into the marketplace. So now we can skip to Acts 2, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we see this transformation. It started with prayer, with 120. People were added. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we go to Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And then, if you look at verse 6 to 9, basically Jesus said, "Silver and gold I do not have," or Peter said, "but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." So remember, these are normal people without schooling in the Word, chosen by God, got together, prayed, Holy Spirit came upon them, went out into the city. I'm not sure about the timeline here, but it does seem all squeezed in. You know, I don't think it's months or years. It seems like it's a very short time. And the Holy Spirit poured out upon them. Radical healings taking place. Let's go to Acts 5 verse 15. Acts 5 verse 15. Streets are filled with miracles. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Okay, so we see people being healed, people of cities gathering in. Remember, normal people giving their lives over to Christ and His purposes. Verse 16 we've read. Then think about this. Verse 17. They started offending the Sanhedrin. All right, I'm just going to read it. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. In the same night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Then if you look at verse 26, so they get captured, taken to the prison. The same night they get freed by an angel. Angel says, "Go back." They go and do it. Verse 26, the captain went with the officers and brought them with violence back to the Sanhedrin. And then Gamaliel, he was a councilman, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all people. He basically told the apostles, do you mind just go and stand outside? I want to talk to the Sanhedrin. And then he told them, guys, I think we've got some troubles here. Let's just let these guys go. And then they did it. They agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Yes, this is amazing. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Okay, so they get caught, they're thrown in a prison, an angel opens the door. The next day they get caught again, they're brought into this courtroom. The one wise man stands up and says, no, you guys just go and stand outside. And he advises, he counsels the Sanhedrin. He said, listen, we need to leave these guys alone. They're troublemakers. They beat them. The apostles go out and like, yes, we were beaten. And they continue doing exactly that, what they were beaten for. So what we see is a whole city transformed with 12 businessmen. Okay? A whole city turned over, a city that grieved God, that grieved Jesus. So my question is, how do you view yourself in this morning? What is your view? What metanoia needs to take place in your heart concerning yourself? That's why I'm so blessed with the ministry we had just now. That God is saying stuff over us. We have everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so how open are we for the Holy Spirit Monday to Friday? This is great, but this is the team talk. We need to take this power out. So the instruction from the Word this morning is that we need to reach the lost where they are, and that is in the marketplace. Business is the ministry of heaven just as much as the business of heaven is ministry. Business is the ministry of heaven just as much as the business of heaven is ministry. So I want to urge you this morning that live in accordance with your calling. Live in accordance with your calling. God is going to free us this morning from a burden that is not ours to carry. I was so blessed a couple of weeks ago in small group. I had this discussion with a friend, and he told me he was very confused as a young Christian because he had this passion, and he thought with this passion, the only thing he should do is to take it to pulpit ministry. But he knew he wasn't called for the pulpit ministry. And that's why I'm saying I'm not preaching against anything. I'm preaching for something this morning. Because there are people that we need to respect and we need to honor before God for pulpit ministry. But for the rest of us, I mean, in a team, there's only one coach and 15 players. And he told me, now he was praying one morning, and yes, he asked God, what should I do? What should I do? And he said it just became silent, and he heard a very clear voice telling him, Renu, you are an engineer. And he just said, thank you, Lord. Because he struggled, and then he could live out that passion. He could lead people to salvation as an engineer. But that confusion, Satan wants us to be confused. So that's why I'm saying live in accordance to your calling, and you will be happy, you will be blessed, and you will have that deep satisfaction that the Spirit brings. So there's one paradigm shift we need this morning, and that is that work is worship. If you believe that, say amen. Great. We look at Adam in Genesis 1 verse 28, God blessed them, us, and said to us, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay, so it's not about surviving, it's about ruling. It's about ruling in your office environment, it's about ruling over your competition, and every living company that moves on the stock market. Okay, so if you read it in that context of Genesis 1, it's the next slide. Okay, so ruling, make it relevant to your industry. Okay, then the next one is Ecclesiastes 3, verse 22. This is from Solomon. So I saw that there is nothing better for a man to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? So my question is, do you enjoy your worship? And if not, then God must set you free this morning, because if you don't enjoy worship, you're not going to worship fully. I mean, it's blessed to worship here in church, but tomorrow you're worshiping again. Always when I talk about this, I think about that testimony of Penny Haynes where she broke all those world records, and afterwards they asked her what happened, and she said, no, she jumped into the pool and she worshiped God. And before she knew it, she touched the other side. She said it was effortless, and that was, if you can recall, the time she broke all those records. So there are records for us to break. Okay, guys, just lastly, four key decisions we need to take this morning. I'd like to urge you to take them with me. Decide that your occupation is your ministry. Your occupation is your ministry. Decide to include intercession in your occupation and in your company. Yes? If you don't pray for your company, you can't expect God to do anything there. Decide to listen to and expect the Holy Spirit in your occupation. Who have you have received practical guidance from the Holy Spirit in an office environment or in an educational environment or governance? I've had it many times where I will wake up with a warning that, listen, that guy's going to try and do this to me today in a meeting. And then I prepare. So I go and pull all the emails. And then when he starts with the accusation, I'm just like, no, you said the following. And then like, okay, how did you know I'm going to do that type of thing? And that's the Holy Spirit. Or you wake up with an idea. Or you driving somewhere and God just enlightens your mind to a business idea. And then lastly, get a global vision. Get a global vision. Reach nations and generations. Matthew 28 says, make disciples of all nations. So yes, we're discipling individuals, but we're also discipling nations. But guys, let's stand this morning and then the worship team can come. I believe God wants to do some ministry in our hearts. I said I'm going to be short. And I want to read the next two scriptures. We have received the Spirit of God, so let us not limit Him in our daily lives. For God gives the Spirit without measure. He doesn't box it. He doesn't place it in a building. And Philippians, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Okay, guys, let's just go into a time of ministry. I'm going to pray, and I believe that God has something in store for specific individuals here this morning. So please react on that. So Lord, we bless you. Lord, we thank you that we can be encouraged by the disciples that were real men. Mary, that was a real woman. People with a heart after you that prayed, got together in one accord. You poured out your Spirit on them and they transformed the city. God, thank you that the people in this room with the Spirit in them can transform this city. Holy Spirit, we bless you in this morning. We thank you that you are among us, that you want to do something just awesome through us, Monday to Friday. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your word that is so relevant. Guys, as we worship, just remain in this atmosphere of worship. When we were worshiping at the beginning, I sensed a couple of people. So as we worship, just come forward if it's you. First of all, I do believe that God wants to heal people this morning. So if you've got any pain or any issues in your body, please come. The Holy Spirit is here among us. I saw a picture of a lady with brown hair that needs to say something to her boss or bring a change in an office environment. You need to say something, but you need encouragement to do that. And a blonde man that I think he needs to resign or make a strong change in his occupation, start something new. And then I just saw a guy with a moustache, and I believe God has a word for you, if you can also come forward. So let's worship God this morning and just open our hearts to what He wants to do. Before we worship, I just want to put this declaration on. I want you just to repeat it with me. It's the last slide there. Okay, let's read this together. I acknowledge that my work is honorable and worship unto you. I acknowledge my workplace as a place of ministry. I expect to hear your voice concerning my day-to-day activities. I consecrate my occupation to you, Lord. I choose to transform the marketplace by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the financial resources to do this as I prove myself faithful to your kingdom. I declare you as the God of the marketplace, and it all for your glory. Let your glory come. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bless you this morning, God, and we magnify you, God. Thank you that you are the God of the marketplace, that you are the God of the church. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So let's just worship God together.